And like that, he's gone. Underground. Nobody's ever seen him since. He becomes a myth, a spook story that criminals tell their kids at night. Rat on your pop, and Kaiser Soze will get you. And no one ever really believes.
Do you believe in him, Verbal?
Keaton always said, I don't believe in God, but I'm afraid of him. Well, I believe in God. And the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Retro Movie Podcast, a podcast for everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to pee on a fire to try and put it out, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well. That probably wouldn't be my first try. But,
I mean, in a pinch, you know.
If worst comes to worst.
Yeah, they say, you know, you pee on jellyfish stings, and you can also pee on fire.
Yeah, I think that's true about the jellyfish stings. Although nowadays you can do it better, is they just extracted the compound.
Perk, I'm on
enough,
the beach.
Enough right. About that.
I don't got the compound extractor with me, you know, when I've got my beach towel.
No, right? I mean, it's literally just like an ammonia spray instead of literal piss.
Nah, it's fine.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the podcast where every Perk and I review a movie that was connected to the previous one in some way. We try to post every single Friday on all podcast services. And if you like our show, be sure to tell your friends about it. Last week, we watched the movie Drive, which had the cinematographer Newton Thomas Siegel. And we followed them to this week's movie, The Usual Suspects. Perk, why don't you try for us?
Yeah, all right. The Usual Suspects is a 1995 joint directed by Bryan Singer. Mm-hmm. And written by Christopher McQuarrie. And it stars Kevin Spacey mainly and mm-hmm. a couple other randoms. It follows a lineup of five criminals who then team up to pull off a heist, and only one of them makes it out and gives his testimony. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a couple quick fun facts. For Benicio del Toro's character, he talks super weird, and the director mm-hmm. encouraged the actors to ad-lib reactions to Benicio del Toro talking super weird, which I find funny, and some of them do come off pretty funny. Like, for example, when they're doing the lineup reading and Benicio del Toro reads his whatever is on the card, and the cop says in English.
Mm-hmm. He was like, "You speak English all the time?"
Yeah, despite the fact that he was speaking in English in the first place, that was ad-libbed. And that lineup scene was initially supposed to be played straight, but they had to film it so many times that the actors couldn't stop breaking up, and they ended up keeping the funnier take in the final.
I like that. It was fun to watch them kind of break up and laugh through it. Well, cool. Perk, why don't you go first? What did you think of this movie?
I like it. I think it's really good. It's a really well-made heist. It's got a cool twist to it. Although I will say a lot of the shine comes off the movie if you know the twist. Mm-hmm. Which usually that's not a problem for me. I don't think necessarily having a movie spoiled for you takes anything out of it. But in this case, it was pretty detrimental in my opinion that I already knew the twist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had kind of a similar thing. I don't know how I knew it, but I as soon as Kevin Spacey was on the screen, like, he's not actually a cripple. Like, he's faking it. I don't know if I had just heard it.
He probably knew it because it's, like, one of the most, like, callback scenes of all time. Have you seen the original Scary Movie?
Yes.
It's literally in the original Scary Movie.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I must have just, like, through osmosis, I received it, and then I pegged this movie. Because, yeah, as soon as his character introduced, I'm like, there's no way in hell. Like, he's faking this entire time. Granted, I didn't know the twist about when he was talking everything. He was just going off things he saw in the room. That was really cool.
That's another thing that, like, I've seen parodied. I didn't know it was from this movie, mm-hmm. and I think it was really cool the way it was handled. But like, there's a Key and Peele sketch about that, I think. So yeah, it, like a lot of this movie has been recycled over the years. So yeah, and the fact that I already knew the twist, it seemed a little familiar.
Yeah,
and took a little bit of the punch out of it.
Yeah, it's still a fun time, but there's not. I don't know. Like, besides the twist, there's not really a whole lot to this movie. It's kind of just, all right, we're doing this, then we're going here and doing this, then we're going here. Like, it's not even as like fun as like an Ocean's movie, right? Because it's not really about like putting the team together and planning the thing and then executing. Like, it's more just like group of criminals and they do a job and another job and then they all die except for one of them. But yeah, it's fun enough. I think like the fear of Kaiser Soze is like done well, and they kind of make him this like mythological creature. Even though I was 99% confident that Spacey was faking, I wasn't 100% sure he was Kaiser Soze until the very end. They did kind of get me. I'm like, oh yeah, was it Keaton? But then yeah, it's like, okay, that makes sense.
Sorry to interrupt. I will say I think this movie is absolutely genius. in like the way that it twists the plot and the way it sets up the twists and all that, but I think outside of that, it's a pretty run of the mill type, heist-esque movie, with you know some great performances, some head scratching performances.
Who's a head scratcher for you?
Benicio Del Toro.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
He's so
young in this.
Well, yeah, it's crazy, but I have no idea what he was going for with the voice. I just don't understand it at all. It's like not a real accent of any kind. He just talks weird.
It's almost the same character he does for the Collector in the MCU, which is also super weird.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've seen any movies that he's been in, but it's super wacky.
I think it was one of the Thors, right?
Yeah, he was at the end of Thor. He was also in Infinity War when Thanos goes to get the Reality Stone. He like has him in the case, and he's like, he does like this shit. He's like acting really weird. It's almost like that, and it's like, what's the direction here, Benicio? But he dies relatively early, so
yeah. And then phenomenal performance. Kevin Spacey is so good at acting. It's a shame he's a creep.
Yeah,
because
he plays a creep well.
he does, and he is so good. He's mesmerizing, and in my opinion, he carries the moments of the film that are a little slower by just being an outstanding actor. I think this is a good exercise in can you separate the art from the artist? Because obviously not a cool dude. I think he was acquitted, but still at a very minimum. Yeah. Ultra creepy.
Yeah.
And it, for me, I was able to get by. I was able to watch the movie without that influencing my view of it. And I was able to put that to the side and just experience a great performance for what it was.
Yeah. I also, for some reason, really liked Stephen Baldwin's performance as McManus. I don't know why. It's probably not like a great performance, but I just thought he did a good job in like that type of role.
Yeah, he did definitely do well in the role that was set forward for him. It's a pretty straightforward role that is often in heist movies, like the loose cannon hothead. But I think he did it well.
I think in other heist movies, I don't always buy that character of like, oh, like they're not actually, I don't know, they're not actually tough, they're just like playing tough. But I bought McManus like, that could back up what he was saying a lot of times. And then I also really like the lawyer, Kobayashi. Like, his just very deadpan, you know, delivery was really, like, fun to watch.
I was a little confused with a name like Kobayashi. When he walks into the room, I was like, is he pretending to be an Asian guy? Is this going to be one of those performances that didn't age well? But
I wonder if it was a Star Trek reference. I'm pretty sure like the test that Kirk like cheats on is like the Kobayashi Maru or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Maybe that. Yeah, but I was also like, yeah, why isn't he Asian?
Well, okay, so my counter to that, the way I worked my way out of it is I don't think he's trying to do like a Japanese accent or anything.
No, no.
And then obviously when it gets turned around and you see that he just grabbed the name Kobayashi off a mug.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that makes a little more sense
yeah,
to me. Like,
it was all made up in the, yeah. Because yeah, that's the thing with this movie. It's like you watch the end and it's like, okay, well, how much of this story was actually real? Like what actually happened? Like the whole thing with Redfoot. You got Redfoot off the board. Did Redfoot even exist? Like, did they even do like that job? Like,
that I guess is the question, like, and I think I guess, that's the brilliance of it.
I mean, I guess the police would know if they whacked Saul or not, so I'm assuming they did whack Saul. But, like, yeah, but it's like, Redfoot's probably not one of Kaiser Soze's cronies. So, yeah, that part is cool of, like, yeah, what actually happened in this movie.
Yeah, it's a absolutely beautiful, untrustworthy narrator story. Mm-hmm. And I think it does a great job. Obviously, I don't know who pioneered it, but this is like a clear and obvious, iconic, amazing example of a movie told with an unreliable narrator.
We don't get enough of those, I don't think.
No, and because we don't know that the narrator's unreliable until mm-hmm. we know that the narrator's unreliable. So I think that's a good thing, because, I mean, you get some stories told from the perspective of a narrator who seems not the greatest guy or something. Like even Memento is told from Guy Pierce's perspective, but what he doesn't even know what his perspective is because he has no memory. So like,
right.
But in this case, we're at least led to believe the entire time that this is just, you know, harmless, verbal kint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think about the narration though?
Remind me, was it Kevin Spacey during the narration?
Yeah. Well, he was talking over the scenes a lot of like what he was thinking at the time. And granted, he's telling the story to the cop, so it's a little bit better, but I'm still like,
I think, yeah, I think since it's a deposition, I think it's okay. Yes. Yeah. In universe, he's telling this story. So
right.
It makes sense. And the fact that his, like the through line is, you know, him explaining it just adds to that. Like, oh, this is clearly his point of view, his take or his lies. So,
right.
I can excuse it, but yeah, yeah, don't get me wrong. I know I have trashed voiceover in the past, and I do dislike it, but yeah. I think when it kind of makes sense in-universe, it's all right.
Yeah. I was mostly okay with it because of the in-universe explanation, but the movie starting off with it, I was like, yeah, okay. Like, it's one of these again. We've got another Tobey Maguire Spider-Man on our hands.
That movie I watched, See How They Run. It mm-hmm. also starts off with a narrator, and it's like, oh, well, and then the idea is it's a play on whodunits, and those always start out with a narrator, yep. So I guess it's okay. It's one of those, like, when Deadpool calls out the writers for bad writing, does that excuse the bad writing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I gotta call out, I gotta do it, another movie with a female character that just is a nothing character that's used for leverage as just like an object, and it's like, all right, this again, but you know, whatever, she served her role, but that it was kind of a nice way to make you think the movie was about Keaton when it actually wasn't.
Yeah. Also, she's not exactly a damsel.
Like but
there's no rescue for her, and then she gets offed. So
that's true. That is true.
But I agree with you. Her character is literally just lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Lawyer that loves Keaton, and it's like, okay.
in fairness as well, her character is good lawyer, whereas mm-hmm. What's
Kobayashi's. Her name?
Carrie Mulligan's character was woman.
Yeah.
Like, or mother.
Mom, yeah.
So, I think love interest, but I think the fact that she's at least a good lawyer, and there are a couple scenes of her lawyering, I don't know. It's better than the bare minimum, but not by far. Like, it trips on the fence, but it like, does yeah. fall on the other side.
The scene where Keaton and Verbal go, and they were, he like wanted to say goodbye, but then he doesn't get the chance to. It's like, I don't care about this relationship at all. Like, you have not convinced me that you actually care about this person. Which you said I love you multiple times, you didn't respond because you were spacing out. So it's like, I don't care about this relationship at all.
Yeah, I think part of that too is we're led to believe the whole time that he's an ultimate manipulator, and so mm-hmm. he probably is just with her because she's a good lawyer. So it's mm-hmm. hard for us to believe, you know, his heart is with that woman when, like, the movie's also telling us that he's a fraud.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, that was a fine movie, fun enough, cool twist. Action was fine. It was a little bit hokey. If you agree, this is the scene where Keaton's running down the pier and pulls out the two pistols out of his jacket and shoots the guy in the back. I'm like, okay, like, what are we doing?
it's a little goofy. It's certainly not a set piece icon or anything.
Yeah, it's not about the action. It's about the mystery. But it was just right. kind of funny to me.
I had a couple other things. I think the direction was pretty good. In particular, there was one scene when I forget what we cut from, but I think it's we cut from, like, talking to Verbal, and then they cut to the dock, but it's just a quick cut to a burned corpse. And the second they cut, a foghorn goes off from a different ship.
Mm.
And I think that was a really cool little jump scare type thing. I think the way they coordinated that was nice. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the movie, there were a few shots where it looked like they were getting testimony from a couple of the characters. And they were sitting in like a dark room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the camera was super blurry. And like the light above them was super bright and everything was blurred, and I didn't like that. I don't really understand why that was there. It wasn't like it was used as a motif further on. And then I'm not fond of the score, because I think it just comes off as like almost like default orchestral type score, and I don't think it fits really well, because it's like they're, you know, sneaking around this boat, and it's just like, sounds like it could have been pulled out of a Star Wars knockoff or something like that. You
know? Yeah, it was definitely pretty unremarkable. I didn't really note anything about it. I thought it was shot pretty well. I never really got confused with the time skips, which I was happy about. I was worried that like that was going to get really confusing really fast. But it's, once you're past the big opening, then it's just like, okay, past.
Yeah,
that's it.
Right.
Yeah. It was pretty good. You got Giancarlo Esposito in there for a little bit.
Yeah, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty limited role, but he's good.
Getting the Hungarian guy.
Hungarian guy.
But yeah, I don't know if I have any recommendation based on this movie. It's just like, I don't know, more heist stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not the same kind of movie. Maybe 7, if you'd like. 7 if you want the mystery side, Ocean's 11 if you want the heist side.
The only thing I can think of with an unreliable narrator that I enjoyed is not a movie, but there's a video game called Tales from the Borderlands, which is like a Telltale game, but it's set in the Borderlands universe that has two narrators that are kind of competing to tell you what happened. They kind of have different takes, and that's a really, really good story. So,
you've reminded me, and this is like super spoilery, but BioShock. The original BioShock.
There you go.
For definitely not the same reason.
It's funny, I played Infinite and loved it, but I never went back and played the original.
Yeah, I'm too much of a baby. I love Infinite.
Yeah, the first one's definitely scarier.
Yeah, it's a little dark and dingy and spooky, so I've yet to play it.
Also, old game's old, you know?
No, it's aged pretty well, I've thought.
Yeah, but the graphics and the gameplay.
They remastered the original one.
Yeah, but I don't know. See, you're also the same guy who went back and played Half-Life 1 and 2. Those games also feel super old to me, and it's hard to get through them. But.
Dude, Half-Life 1 has aged phenomenally for literally a like no physics-based first-person shooter in the original Source Engine. It's great. That game is so good. It's just got a great story and great gunplay despite being 80 years old.
Well, maybe I'll play it someday. All right, well, that is our review of The Usual Suspects. We'll reveal we're watching next week at the end of the episode. Before that, we got our bonus reviews. Perk, why don't you go first? What'd you watch this week?
I finished my, like, 6th or 7th rewatch of Futurama.
preparing for the new season?
Yeah, because the new season should be coming in the spring, I would imagine. Great show. Probably my favorite ever. I won't wax too lyrical about it because I do it all the time in person. Mm. But great show. Actually funny. That's about all you need to know. There are a lot of bad shows that are not very funny.
That is true. Is there a show that's like similar that I've watched? Because I mean, I've seen like a little bit of Futurama, but like I don't really understand why it's so revered.
It's clever humor. My definition, I do like a little trichotomy where it's you've got Futurama, which is a smart show about dumb people. Family Guy, which is a dumb show about dumb people. And The Big Bang Theory, which is a dumb show about smart people. So you know how Big Bang Theory is not very funny, but they have 10-second laugh tracks?
Mm-hmm.
Futurama is funny and no laugh tracks. But yeah, to compare, I don't know. It's got the sci-fi of like a Rick and Morty, but it's a lot tamer, a lot less aggressive. And I don't know. If you've seen The Simpsons, it's obviously the same animation style, but
sure.
Written a little more cleverly, I think.
This is going to be a weird comparison, but when I think of like clever comedy, I think of Letterkenny. Is there any comparison there?
No, I think because Letterkenny is so much more focused around dialogue and like witty dialogue and puns and witticisms and stuff like that, whereas Futurama's got quite a bit more visual to it, as well as, I mean, like people being stupid but in clever ways, like
okay.
You know, so you like, oh, that's funny. Even if it's not like, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but it's fun to laugh at the way that they portray stupid people in a clever fashion, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's definitely a show I feel like I need to watch, just haven't got around to it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a throw on, like, I don't know, if you ever just need some filler content in between seasons of things.
Sure.
Because it's not serialized. It is a sitcom, but I mean, there are running through lines, but for the most part, you just can turn on an episode and it's good to go.
Sure. Okay. Nice. Before I talk to my movie I watch, I do want to perk. I might force you to watch Andor. The show is so fucking good.
Oh, that'd be cool if you hadn't already blown your Malala.
I know, I already blew it, but like, this show is absolutely killing it on having relevant social themes in Star Wars and also just being a Star Wars thing I care about, even though I'm sick of Star Wars. Like, my God, absolutely incredible. Andy Serkis, national treasure. We need to protect him at all costs, even though he's not from the US. But yeah, everyone, please watch Andor. Incredible. But besides that, I went and saw Wakanda Forever this weekend.
All right, I'm interested.
Black Panther movie. So here's what I'll tell you, Perk. So I was walking into this movie, and I'm like, okay, I know this is going to be a tribute to Chadwick Boseman, who obviously very tragically passed away from cancer a few years ago. I'm prepared for that. I was not prepared, Perk. I was crying for like 40% of this movie. Every time they brought him up, I was just bawling my eyes out. Like, it is just so tragic, and the way they handled his passing was just so beautiful, and all of the characters kind of grieving in different ways, and yeah, it was just really beautiful how they handled that. I think this movie definitely deserves some Oscars. I think the score is out of this world incredible. It just perfectly matched every scene and just really directed your emotions in a really powerful way. So massive shout out to the score. I also think Angela Bassett murdered it. Letitia Wright murdered it. Like all of the cast did so well, but I think Angela Bassett deserves a supporting actress nom for sure. Namor, the villain, was a great, I want to get this guy's name. He was a pretty like unknown actor they kind of just found. This is like one of his big like first roles. His name is Tena Cuerta. Killed it as Namor. Really compelling antagonist. Yeah, just a super emotional movie. If I had to knock like one thing, I would say the action is pretty inconsistent. It's funny. It's kind of similar to the show Ms. Marvel that came out recently, where the best or the worst parts of this are the MCU things, like the action and the shoehorning in characters they're setting up for future projects. It just didn't always work. Some of the action is really, really cool, and then some of the action I'm just like, okay, like the editing was kind of weird there, or the CGI was kind of off there, or the direction was kind of weird. But like everything besides that was just so powerful and so good. So I would recommend you go see it, Perk. I think it's definitely a movie worth watching.
Fair enough. I might do just that. Only trouble being, it is so goddamn long. Can we relax? Can we make a movie under 2 hours? Challenge impossible.
It's a nice 240. Honestly, like I've heard
a nice 240. Oh my god.
I've heard a lot of people say that they felt its length. I didn't really feel it, honestly. Like, I was engaged the entire time, because I think the story they're telling is very compelling, and just the characters. Like, the acting is so good. And it was also, I mean, I should have known this going in, but, like, it's pretty much an all-female cast on the Wakanda side, at least. And that was really cool to see.
That's because the main character, the last one, isn't in this one anymore.
I mean, that's true, but like granted, he was surrounded by all these women in the last movie, but like, you know, his sister Shuri, his mom, who's the queen, you got Lupita Nyong'o playing Nakia, and you got Danai Gurira playing Okoye. Like, it was just really cool seeing them all just like be powerful women and just absolutely kill it in this movie. So, yeah, definitely go check out Wakanda Forever. It is a tearjerker, so bring the tissues. all right, well, that is our show for this week. Next week, we're going to watch a long movie, Perk. You just dished on them, and now we're going to watch one.
Yeah, but they got to be good. It's okay for a movie to be long, but it has to be good. And the ceiling for Marvel movies is fine.
It was a good time. Anyway, we're going to watch Casino. We're following Kevin Pollak, who played Hockney in The Usual Suspects, to Casino, the Martin Scorsese epic, and it is streaming on Hulu. So excited for this. Must be one of my first old-school Scorsese movies. So I'm excited, but I'm also like 3 hours per. Can it hold me the whole time? We'll see.
Yeah, I suppose we'll find out. Huh?
We'll find out. But yeah, next week, Casino on Hulu. But until next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.